happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Dow slips nearly 900 points, coupled with major slides for the NASDAQ and S&P as recession worries build. PNC economist Gus Fauché.
If we were to see additional tariffs coming online next month, then that would likely create some drag on the economy and make investors even more nervous.
Ontario is imposing a 25% surcharge on all U.S.-bound electricity as part of its retaliatory measures against President Trump's tariffs on Canadian goods. Premier Doug Ford.
I feel terrible for the American people because it's not the American people who started this trade war. It's one person who's responsible. That's President Trump.
A protest is held in support of Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil, who was arrested by ICE agents on Saturday for helping to lead protests at Columbia University last year. A Manhattan judge has ordered he not be deported while his detention is being challenged. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Join us for the next Midday Magazine. In part one, we'll hang out with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. And in part two, Realty Radio with David. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A report released last week from the Wisconsin National Guard shows an increase in reports of sexual assault. However, this doesn't necessarily mean that there are more assaults happening. The wing report acknowledges that sexual assault is often underreported. They believe the increase in reporting shows an increase in trust of the wing Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Program. This increase could also show a cultural shift within Wing. These changes have come about after reports more than 5 years ago showed the Guard was violating state and federal law with botched investigations and retaliation against those who spoke up. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Governor Tony Evers called for a review of Guard procedures in March of 2019. The Guard is now required to submit an annual report on sexual assault and harassment within the Wisconsin National Guard and have a public hearing on the report. The top six candidates to become the 78th Alice in Dairyland are announced. The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced the finalists on Friday. They are Allison Foster, Michelle Stangler, Michaela Flight, Natalie Rowe, Olivia Lulich, and Sarah Hagnow. During the next 2 months, they will participate in a rigorous interview process, receive media and speaking training, and earn a DATCP Marketing and Communications Certificate. The Alice in Dairyland finals are scheduled for May 15th through the 17th in Crawford County. The winner will be announced on May 17th and will begin her term on July 7th, becoming the next ambassador for ag in Wisconsin. Safety Patrol Night at Taco John's happens this week in Wisconsin Rapids. 100% of the proceeds will be used to support and celebrate the fifth grade students who participate in the Safety Patrol program. Help them out by eating at Taco John's on March 12th between 4 and 8 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
NFL free agency frenzy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers making moves in free agency. They've decided not to re-sign center Josh Myers. Instead, they bring in 49ers left guard Aaron Banks. The 27-year-old 6'6" Banks agreeing to a 4-year contract with Green Bay worth $77 million. It's likely Elgton Jenkins will move from left guard to center. On defense, the Packers adding another player from the Raiders. It's defensive back Nate Hobbs. A 4-year deal worth $46 million, $16 million guaranteed. The Packers losing 27-year-old defensive lineman TJ Slayton today. He'll join the Bengals on a 2-year deal worth over $15 million. NBA. The Bucks headed to Indianapolis to play the Pacers tomorrow night after losing to the Cavaliers at home 112-100.
Offensively, we're not good enough to win the game. I thought just standard defense. We did enough to win the game. We didn't do anything else enough.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 30 to the low 30s. Sunshine returns tomorrow and cooler, highs in the mid-40s. But 50s return Wednesday, 60s Thursday, even 70s Friday. Showers and storms and windy Friday, rain to snow and blustery Saturday. Currently at 64 degrees.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who likes piña coladas, but hates getting caught in the rain, Pete Schwabba.
It is so much fun tonight talking about sack lunches. Even the phrase sack lunch cracks me up. Probably because I'm very immature, but Brian from Milwaukee says turkey stuffing, meatloaf, and sweet potato fries, green beans, and cranberry sauce. That's a great one. That's like Ross Geller's sandwich on Friends, the favorite sandwich. Annie from Watertown says tuna salad sandwich and Cheetos became this great lunch. Sixth grade field trip, eating mom's brown bag lunch, sitting in the bus in the rain outside the Chicago Science and Industry Museum, 1968 or 1969. Still a favorite weird drug of food, despite the paths my diet has gone since. It's interesting. Food truly is medicine. You're absolutely right, Annie. That's a great text. And Steve from Florida says, great lunch sandwich is liverwurst and sliced onion. Finish it up with a Little Debbie brownie. Mm. Mm. I don't know about that, man.
I love Little Debbies.
You love onions.
Yeah.
You put onions on anything. But all right, Steve, I'd probably start with the Little Debbie brownie and finish with it as well if liverwurst is in, in my lunch. We'll get to the rest of your texts as the show goes on. Please join us. We have the question tonight in honor of National Pack Your Lunch Day is, what is in your sack lunch? My guest right now is Dan Davies. He is a local filmmaker and actor who's doing some really cool things. Very busy guy, taking time out here to be in the studio with me tonight. We'll get to some more of Dan's projects in a minute, but I guess we have a phone call, Conrad. For Dan.
Yes.
All right. Dan's getting all his calls here.
Wow. So. Do I owe you money?
Yeah. Just a dime, though. We're going old school. This is, who is this, Conrad?
Susan from McFarland.
Susan from McFarland. How are you, Susan?
I'm good, thank you. I was calling because you piqued my interest because there's nothing musical about Ed Gein. So I was just trying to figure out how one makes a musical.
Well, this
to
is...
take away the sting from Ed Gein's behavior. I guess that's my word, my thought.
It's a great question.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, by the way, Susan. I'm from Waupaca, about 15 minutes from Plainfield. My grandfather worked for the Washer County DNR. His best friend was the arresting sheriff who arrested Ed Gein. He actually knew who Ed Gein was. When I did the film in 2010, I interviewed a number of people from Plainfield. I also did about 3 years' worth of research to find out who Ed was from when he was at Wausau, it was called the Hospital for the Criminally Insane, or Mendota, and had all the psychiatrists and psychologists in the books from Robert Gallmer. And literally learned as much as I could about him. My film is a psychological treatise on why he became who he became. His dad physically abused him, and his mom, they say, sexually abused him. So this was a recipe for disaster. And there is gallows humor throughout the film as well as in the theatrical play. But it's done with respect. I don't glorify Ed. I don't glorify his actions. I don't demean the victims. and I don't minimize what he did.
Okay.
But there's some funny stuff and there's great music in it. But just like Sweeney Todd is, how could you make a, you know, play about a guy who is a cannibal and serving, a lunch counter meats with a human in it. So it's, again, it's funny and it's, you walk away with, hopefully you walk away with
an appetite.
I'm and it's not because I wrote it and then I'm in it. It's just, I think it's an amazing stage play. And I think it's funny and it's lighthearted, but it's also psychologically, you know, meaningful as well.
Susan, thank you so much. I hope Dan answered your question there.
Yeah, he did. I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I might watch it.
Thank you, Susan. It's on Tubi right now. It's on.
Okay, thank you so much.
You have a great night. Drive carefully, Susan. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
So how did you get started in we have one more. I don't want to miss we've got two more comments for you, actually. Dan, you got all your fans turning out here tonight. Daniel from Menasha says, was it difficult to make a tongue, kind of the same question, similar question, was it difficult to make a tongue-in-cheek version of Ed Gein's story, if you want to give a condensed version of what we just said to Susan?
And again, you know, first of all, thank you, Daniel, for that great question. It's not really tongue-in-cheek. The interrogation, I actually use a lot of the actual words and the things and the questions that the sheriff was asking during the interrogation. And I did as much research to make it as correct as possible. Michael Blake, the guy who wrote the Academy Award winner, Dances with Wolves, had seen our film. He said it's the best film ever on Ed Gein. Now he's passed, you know, he's in heaven right now, but that was the biggest thing. So I think it's a really cool film.
That's awesome. We've got one more for you, Dan. Don't go anywhere. You're not leaving yet, are you?
No.
Okay.
Hell no.
Ezekiel on the watching on Facebook says, how about some chili made with TLC? Maybe that wasn't directed to you. Maybe our sack lunch.
So that's an inside joke, actually. Ezekiel's playing Ed Gein. So and the TLC is you'll have to see the world premiere of the theatrical play April 4th.
That's great incentive. Thank you, Ezekiel, for watching on the stream. And we have another phone call, but this is for our question of the night.
Yep.
This is Ollie from the North Woods who wanted to. Hey, Ollie.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. Our old school lunch used to be Mom would pack a tuna sandwich and an orange. Yeah. And to this day, every time I smell an orange, I go right back to tuna sandwiches at pack lunch in school.
It's like
and another thing that we used to get was every time we went traveling, which we did a lot, Mom always packed a picnic lunch. We never stopped at restaurants, rarely.
Yeah.
And it would always be a warm ham sandwich with mayo and a boiled egg.
Whoa. I liked what you offered with the soup question better, Ollie, last week. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, good.
I don't know about that ham and egg, but hey, thanks so much for calling in, Ollie.
Alrighty.
Thanks for listening. All right. Dan, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but look at the size of my head compared to yours on the stream.
Well, no,
I feel like my head needs to be in a museum.
Well, you have a ginormous head. And
you're not the first guest that has said that to me, by the way.
But my grandma said, big head, big wit, little head, not a bit.
Oh, you're a witty guy. I wouldn't say you have a small head. Let's not.
25-inch circumference.
You've measured your head?
Yeah, because somebody said I could be at the Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey, with a circus freak-like head. When I was a kid, they said, can we show movies on your head? And I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
You know, yeah, so I know that's like. I got a size 8 hat. You know?
I don't even know what my... I should run over to
Haberdasher. You got a size 15.
It's 15. I don't even know what I could
do. Well, the average is probably 7.
Is there a way I can make money off the size of my head?
Well, yeah, put advertising right up there.
Dear McGinn,
right there.
Answer this. How did you get started? Like, are there training places? Like, let's say someone from Northeast Wisconsin comes to you and says, hey, I want to do what you do. How do I get started?
Yeah, I tell them, always go online. You know, there are great videos on YouTube that can give you some really good, solid acting advice. You know, get the professional headshots. Try to do as much film as you can for gratis, for free. A lot of times you'll get gas, and, you know, in Wisconsin, it's beer and pizza or whatever.
Right.
Do as many of those things as possible. Do as much local theater as possible. If you have the money, go find somebody, Green Bay, Milwaukee, or Madison, that's an acting coach. Take a few classes. There's a lot of stuff online, and just have fun with it. It's tough to do it in Wisconsin. You need to also be able to travel, and that's, right, you know, the biggest thing. But I always say, just enjoy yourself with it, and, you know, take whatever is given you in the Midwest. So even if you have to be a PA, learn what it's like to be a PA, and then watch the director and watch the actors. And you might find out, and this happens once in a while, you go, well, I don't even want to be an actor anymore. I want to be a lighting technician or a director or the sound guy. That sounds really cool. Or the post-production guy, you know, doing editing. So, but yeah, do as many things for free as possible.
And people that do those things, those are good livings too.
If that's the thing.
Get like in the union or whatever and work a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I also think people like nowadays, maybe since COVID, how audition tapes, like sometimes my agent will contact me. I'll do a file on my phone, and that's acceptable. Whereas 10, 20 years ago, you had to drive to Milwaukee or drive to Chicago. Then living in here was much more difficult, would you say?
Yeah. And that's a nice thing about it, you know, to be able to do the auditions just, you know, online. And if you have a halfway decent phone or even your laptop, you'd be able to do it and send it out. And and you're up against many other people. And like I was saying earlier, a lot of times people see something that I'm in Netflix or Hulu or PBS and go, we like you. We want you to play this. Or can you play a Russian? Can you play this? And I always tell them, yes, I can, even if I can't.
And you learn. And you Google something else and try to sound like Igor Stravinsky. All right. We got about a minute and a half left, Dan. Cool. Who are your acting influences? Like, who as a kid or even as a young adult could you not turn off when you watch them on TV or in the movies?
You know, the first real actor that I always thought, the first natural actor, everybody says it was Marlon Brando. It was actually Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart was the first natural actor. Prior to him, they'd be like, hey there, Bobby, come on over to the soup kitchen.
They were doing characters.
Yeah. You know, where Jimmy Stewart's like, well, you know what you are, Mr. Potter? You're nothing but a scurvy little spider. The people here live in this community.
Right.
Is it too much to ask that they live in a nice home? You know, he was real. And he's my hero. And Humphrey Bogart as well.
What did you think about our favorite Humphrey Bogart movie?
Casablanca is my
favorite. Rick Blaine.
Yep.
All I want to do when I see that movie is hang out at Rick's American Cafe. Such a great joint,
isn't
man.
It?
Yeah.
But that movie is just magic to me.
What did you think about Gene Hackman as an actor? Were you a fan?
Oh, I loved him. Yeah. Again, every man. He played Gene Hackman.
Right.
You know, I mean, but he played it well. And he never made a bad movie.
Boy, that's a great point.
There
are some actors who are so great, even a bad script can't. You know, they can help. I don't know. He's great. Tom Cruise, I think, is another one who does not, whether you like Tom Cruise or not personally, because I went through a phase where I was like, and then he's jumping on Oprah's couch. I'm like, whoa, what a weirdo. He's got the Scientology thing always in the forefront, but the guy doesn't make a clunker.
He doesn't make a clunker. People that work with him love him.
Yeah, right. That too.
Yep. They love him.
Dan, this was fun. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Pete.
Come back soon. Crush it at the Green Bay Film Festival.
This Friday, and then the world premiere Ed Gein musical, April 4th.
Outstanding.
Thank you, Dan Davies.
Go see him this Friday, Green Bay Film Festival. We're coming back with some fantasy baseball talk. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Once you and your spouse retire, you'll have some decisions to make, decisions that could affect your quality of life in your retirement years. For starters, how much should you withdraw each year from your 401k and other retirement accounts? You'll want to avoid taking too much too soon. Next, when should you take Social Security? If you wait until your full retirement age, probably 67, you'll typically get bigger payments than if you started taking benefits at age 62. Also, one spouse's decision may affect the other in terms of spousal benefits. Finally, if you haven't already done so, you'll need to work with your legal professional to decide which estate planning documents are needed, such as a will, a living trust, and various powers of attorney. You and your spouse will want to discuss all your choices and then decide which steps to take. After you've got your plans in place, you may well find that you can fully enjoy your retirement years.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, is it true that Eddie Gein, he's referring to, was partial to fava beans and Chianti served cold? I cannot, nor do I want to confirm or deny that. And Tyler says, in his sack lunch. I would imagine so. Fictitious character. We can give him whatever we want, right? Tony the trucker says, Pete, my lunch bag is the biggest igloo cooler made, so it's like a small suitcase. In it, I have three bottles of water, a bottle of Cran energy drink, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yogurt, granola, an energy bar, carrot sticks, cheese sticks, an orange, grapes, a banana, and Triscuit crackers. I usually work 10 to 12 hours a day, so this covers lunch and supper. Sounds like a lot, right? Yeah, it sounds like you're preparing for the apocalypse, Tony. That's great. Tony the trucker. I thought he was our overnight listener. Or is that a different trucker? That's Tony the Tiger. Tony, thank you for the text. That's awesome, dude. What is in your sack lunch, folks? It's National Pack Your Lunch Day. That's the question of the night. Did I get all these, Con? I think I'm caught up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Right.
People love food questions. We got to have a, you know, maybe we'll do like a recipe thing.
It's just not the question of the night anymore. It's just food questions.
Just food questions. We'll do that. All right. So very exciting, folks. Tomorrow night on the show, from the Overture Center, Tim Sowers will join me. I'll be live from Madison. And then Jeff Blankenship, the director, will join me. And we might have a surprise guest. We'll see what happens. But it'll be another fun night on Nightlight. Right now, we are turning our attention to something I know nothing about, and that's why I'm excited. A guy that works here at WGBW, he's got great accounts. He works his butt off. Peter Van Doren joins me now. He approached me about a couple weeks ago and said, hey, would you ever want to do a fantasy baseball thing? I said, yes, because I don't get it. Pete, I've done football. I've done fantasy football. I hear that fantasy baseball is much more, you have to really immerse yourself in it.
Well, I think in some ways it is a little more involved, but the way I look at it is that, you know, with fantasy football, you're still, you know, looking at your lineup, you're, you know, scouting the, available players that aren't claimed right, and already on fantasy teams. You are, you know, checking injury reports, making trade proposals. The difference essentially is just with fantasy baseball, you're just checking your lineup more often, you know?
Right.
And if you're playing fantasy football rather intensely, you're probably on that website, you know, several times a day anyway.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, once a day.
If you're passionate about it. I have to back up because I think there's a lot of people probably that don't really know. Let's start like We're 5 years old.
Yeah.
Tell us what fantasy baseball is.
Sure, sure. So I actually wanted to just, you know, get this presented well. So I researched Wikipedia. Fantasy baseball is a game in which participants serve as owners and general managers of virtual baseball teams. The competitors select their rosters by participating in a draft in which all relevant Major League Baseball players are available. So the fantasy points are awarded based on actual performance of baseball players in real-world competition.
Okay.
And so what that means essentially is that, you know, you are the owner of a fantasy team. You have real players on this team, and you're playing on a server. In this day and age, like, almost every major news sports outlet probably has a fantasy football site to go with it. Yahoo, ESPN,
sure,
CBS Sports. You know, you can play on all those websites.
Okay.
With the game of fantasy baseball, there's essentially two different formats, right? You've got head-to-head, which is very similar to how people play fantasy football.
Meaning the team that you oversee plays against someone else.
Another real-life person. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. And basically, at the end of the week, you win. How baseball is a little bit different is it goes by categories instead of just kind of a cumulative score based on real, you know, NFL players' performance.
Okay.
So that's one style that's, you know, very popular. The other most popular format is rotisserie. In rotisserie fantasy baseball leagues, you're trying to build based on select categories, and you're trying to lead the league in each of those categories. So when you think of, like, major, you know, stats in baseball, you've got, like, batting average, home runs, stolen bases.
Okay.
You're trying to, you know, essentially accumulate, you know, more of that than the rest of your opponents in the league. So both of them, and really most of fantasy sports for season long, we talk about the season long, it just involves the regular season. So it's, you know, all 162 games of the baseball season.
That's a commitment.
Yeah. And last year there was 163 because the Mets played that extra game.
Oh, right. Yeah. So when you say there's rotisserie, there's one-on-one. When you're doing rotisserie, are there still one-on-one matchups?
There's no matchups with rotisserie. You're competing against everybody simultaneously.
Is that less, like, if you were going to participate or join a league, is rotisserie less time-consuming?
I don't know that it's less time-consuming. I think they both take up about the same amount of time.
Okay.
I like the challenge of rotisserie because I think that oftentimes in a head-to-head league, you can be very dominant in some categories.
Okay.
And that'll carry you through. But with rotisserie, it really kind of exposes those weak ends. You have to have a very balanced team.
Okay.
And that's why when we look at fantasy baseball players, oftentimes the more desired hitters are going to be those players that put up, they call it like five categories. And, you know, it's stolen bases, home runs, RBIs, runs, batting average.
Okay.
If you have a very complete player like that, it's easy to put them in your lineup every day. Yeah. You're going to get all those counting stats in your favor.
Do they, in baseball, do they track defense like they do? I know that was kind of an addition.
There is not. No. Okay. No. Often in fantasy football, you play like a defensive team, and it's just kind of how that squad does as a whole in a given game. Baseball, typically, there's no defense involved in it.
Even if a guy wins a gold glove, he's dead to the fantasy baseball world.
Yeah, it's pretty much offense.
So
it's pretty much offensive production and pitching.
Okay. All right. Peter Van Dorn is here, folks. We're talking fantasy baseball. I don't know much about it. I'm trying to learn a little bit about it. I know the basics of fantasy football. And when I joined fantasy football here at Civic Media, I had Rocker saw that I was not taking it seriously. He's one of the Max Inc. radio hosts. And he said, I just want to remind you, you're in the pro league here. We have a smaller league if you'd rather do that. So
I won that league this year. But the pro league.
Very well done. I didn't join at all. I know my limitations. We're coming back. Civic Media's award-winning news team is about to tell you what you need to know. And then we'll be back reading your text and talking more with Peter Van Dorn about fantasy baseball. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. So glad you're with me on this Monday night, this gorgeous Monday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Dane County Board adopted a resolution asking lawmakers to act to prevent gun violence. Savannah Tome Olson has the story.
Municipal governments aren't allowed to make their own rules on guns, so the board is asking legislators to do so immediately. They're pushing for what are typically called common sense reforms, expanded background checks requiring locked gun storage, and red flag laws, where people can petition the court to have someone's access to their guns temporarily suspended if a judge agrees they're a danger to themselves or others. Guns are the number one cause of death for American children. State Senator Kelda Royce.
I don't know how many dead kids we need for Republicans in this building to start caring about that and prioritizing their lives and their safety over their own political careers. But, you know, other states have done this, some with Republican support. This is not rocket science. This is basic humanity.
More than 700 people die and more than 1,600 are hurt because of gun violence in Wisconsin every year.
Gas prices rose 9.5 cents in the last week for an average of $2.90 today. This is 1 cent lower than a month ago and 31.8 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say that caution is playing a role in keeping prices lower. Concerns about the direction of the economy could have a major influence on fuel prices in the months ahead, especially with the high level of uncertainty surrounding tariffs. OPEC Plus announced they would gradually begin restoring oil production after nearly 2 years of cuts. This will add further downward pressure on oil prices. Our typical spring increase in prices may not happen or could be smaller than expected. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.89 to $2.99 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. New releases in theaters this past weekend all seemed to limp to the finish line for different reasons. Acclaimed director Bong Joon-ho's new film, Mickey 17, did finish first at the box office with $19 million, but that was a bit of a disappointment. The film starring Robert Pattinson cost almost $120 million to make and is not expected to recoup. This was the director's first big studio budget after winning a Best Director Oscar for Parasite 5 years ago. The other new releases were Rule Breakers, which got excellent reviews from critics and even better from audiences, but brought in just $1.5 million at the box office on over 2,000 screens. In The Lost Lands, starring Mila Jovovich and David Bautista, stunk up theaters with barely over $1 million at the gate and terrible reviews. Captain America managed to hang on to the number two slot, followed by Last Breath, The Monkey, and Paddington in Peru, which finished in fifth place. Tough week. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 30 to the low 30s. Sunshine returns tomorrow and cooler, highs in the mid-40s. But 50s return Wednesday, 60s Thursday, even 70s Friday. Showers and storms and windy Friday, rain to snow and blustery Saturday. Currently at 62 degrees.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba from The Todd Alba Show joining us at 10:33 to kick around all the Wisconsin news. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
But we're making it even better. We're talking sack lunches and acting and fantasy baseball. And Bridget checks in from the 818 on the text line. She says, my mom packed a PBJ sandwich with butter. Oh, that's a Wisconsin thing. Butter on peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, so it's...
Or on a ham sandwich.
PB&J?
PB&J&B. Just to complicate things. She thought it was a treat. I didn't particularly like the butter, but I thought that was how they were made. Oh, man, Bridget's mom totally steered her wrong, unintentionally, I'm sure. But no, that's the thing in Wisconsin, too, ham sandwiches. I go to my wife's family reunions in New London, and they had ham sandwiches. They were serving ham sandwiches with butter and mayo. And I thought the guy was joking when he said, I go, oh, what's on this? Butter and mayo. And I kind of went, and there was nothing from the guy. He's like, I'm like, oh, okay. I don't think I could eat that. I don't think I could muscle that down if you paid me. And then we got some comments on the stream. This is Rondo Huckbody. Rondo, if that's not made up, I apologize. It sounds made up, and I love it either way. He says, knock it out of the park, Pete. Is that you?
Yeah.
There's two Petes here.
That's a friend of mine.
That's a friend. Is that his real name?
Yeah. Well,
come on.
Aaron. It's Aaron.
Aaron. Yeah. All right. Well, that's okay. Oh, what happened? We got something going on here with the stream. So is he in fantasy baseball with you?
He is not. No, okay. No. I know from like way back in the day, we still got P-buys together where.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. And Rondo says, who are the key players on your pro league team? First, let's get to that in a second. Pete, what is in your sack lunch?
Sure. What's in my sack lunch?
Your sack lunch. You're putting your lunch together at home.
Well, yeah. So, like, I cut some venison sausage, like, the other day. Some venison summer sausage. Wow. Yeah, I've been eating a lot of that this week.
It's okay. Good. I can tell by your rosy glow you've been eating a lot of venison sausage.
Yeah.
Peter Van Doren, ladies and gentlemen, joining me in the studio tonight. He's part of the team here at WGBW. Does great work. Sales, and you've got your accounts are crushing, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. I'm in sales. I work, kind of between here as well as WISS, which is, our Appleton and Oshkosh station. Appleton and Oshkosh are official affiliates of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I was going to ask you about that, so why don't you elaborate on that?
Definitely
want
to give a shout out to that. Yeah. So we've got all the games, all 162, plus right now we've got spring training going on.
Wow.
We are going to have the playoffs, I think, right up through the World Series. I mean, potentially, hopefully the Brewers make it. We'll see what happens with them, But we are looking for business sponsors for that, too. So if you were a business owner or you do marketing for a company, definitely reach out to us. You can give us a call here in the studio. Conrad will pick up, take your information, and we'll totally get you set up as an in-game sponsor of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm just going to tell you, folks, here's what a great closer Pete is when it comes to sales. He got me to buy advertising on my own show. So it's Night Late with Pete Schwab, sponsored by Night Late Pete. I'm out 10 grand somehow. And it was like, I was totally hoodwinked and I just went with it. So the guy knows his stuff. But all right, now we'll go back to, I'm sorry. Your sack lunch is
Venison sausage. Venison summer sausage. Yeah. Well, I pack an apple, maybe like a bag of Doritos.
Any dipping sauce for the venison?
Not too much. Like usually like a ranch, like a spicy mustard. It's pretty good.
What would make you a real man is if you brought venison sausage and dipped it in the actual blood of the animal.
That would be pretty wicked. Yeah. Wow.
You'd have a serious glow working then. Peter Van Doren, we're talking fantasy baseball. Your friend Rondo Huckbody, real name, right?
Yeah,
I think he clarified.
Sort of. Yeah.
Real nickname.
Real nickname.
He says, who were key players on your pro league team? So we're talking fantasy baseball. Before we get to Rondo's question, it works a lot like fantasy football. There's just a lot more to keep up on, right?
Yeah, there's definitely more to keep up on because there's more players.
Yeah.
But another aspect of it that I do really enjoy with fantasy baseball is that because there are more players, typically the rosters are bigger, you have a little bit bigger selection of players. So you may not need to have kind of that record-breaking player on your team. Like, you don't have to have like a Peyton Manning setting the single season touchdown mark or Calvin Johnson, catching the most passes of all time. And, in fantasy baseball, I mean, sure, having like a Sohei Ohtani is like a huge asset. I mean, the guy put up like 50 home runs, 59 steals last year. But, you know, but at the same time, because the rosters are bigger, it maybe is not like as much of a single deciding factor by having like that it player in the middle of a record-breaking season in fantasy baseball.
Okay. And so, I assume it's like football where the top guys, the guys with the best stats are the best, are the first to go in a draft. Does the draft take forever compared to a fantasy football draft?
Kind of depends on the timer. I mean, I suppose probably about 2 hours maybe in like an average 10 or 12 team league. Oh, it's about the same.
Okay. All right. So like I said, for those who don't play, your friend Rondo's question, who are the key players on your pro league team? Who did you draft, Pete, that you're excited about?
Well, let's see. So I compete in a couple cash leagues every year. And one of them I do is actually a keeper league, which allows you to keep three players every season.
Okay.
And we've been doing the keeper league for several years now. This season I'm playing keeping Gunnar Henderson from the Orioles, shortstop. I have Corbin Carroll from the Diamondbacks, an outfielder, as well as Kyle Tucker, who recently got traded to the Cubs last season.
Okay.
So
does this mean anything to you, Conrad? You know, can you vouch that these are good players?
I can vouch that they're good keepers.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you play fantasy baseball?
Well, I know I did draft a team this year, but I drafted Gerrit Cole, so that just sucks there.
Ooh, yeah, it's kind of a tough break there. Yeah,
he mentioned that. That's how much does it cost to play fantasy baseball? Like compared to football, the same.
It's however much you want. Yeah, you know, like the keeper league I'm in is the Vladimir Guerrero Invitational. I want to give a shout out to those guys. Cock Sammies is one of the team
Watch
names.
Watch your language.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Cock Sammies.
One more time.
Cock Sammies. That's his team name. I'm not going to tell you about the picture he has at his profile.
That's his team name?
That's his team name, yeah.
Do you want to know my brother? I'll just tell the story quick. He had the Twitter handle at UW Badgers. he got, when Twitter first came out, my brother Andrew had at UW Badgers. So obviously Wisconsin wanted that for their own Twitter account. Yeah. And they said, well, if you don't give it to us, we're going to sue you. And he said, well, I'm a lawyer. Bring it on. And, you know, at the end of the day, he graduated from there. It's his place. He loves it. He says, look, I'll give it to you. Let's not whatever. And they said, oh, great. Well, what can we do for you? And he goes, I'll tell you what. Like, instead of asking for season tickets, he asked for a signed football from Barry Alvarez and a signed basketball from Bo Ryan. And they said, yeah, we can make that happen. Sweet. So he takes a picture of the two balls. And his fantasy football team name that year was Special Balls.
Oh, gosh.
And his son saw it, his 11-year-old son. He goes, Dad, can't do that. I mean, you know what that means, right? He's like, he had to play dumb because he didn't want his kid to. But, yeah, those risque names are all over fantasy sports,
oh,
right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's a
very immature.
It's a very lowbrow humor at times. Yeah.
Peter Van Dorn is here. He is part of the WGBW team here. He does great work regarding sales, and he was just pitching how Civic Media got the Brewers on WYSS.
Yeah. Email me. I'll tell you more.
Yeah.
Peter at civicmedia.us.
Very simple. How did you get started in fantasy baseball, and when? Was it already kind of in the throes of its popularity, or were you an early entry?
I would say it was in the throes of its popularity. I mean, bear in mind, the sport like precedes the internet. That's how long it's been around.
I want to talk about that, too.
I actually did some research on this.
That surprised me.
The sport of fantasy baseball, apparently back in like 1980, a bunch of like writers assembled at a cafe, Lotisserie Francais was the name of the cafe, and that's why it became Rotisserie Baseball. Yeah, no, okay. It's crazy, but who knows? You know, sometimes the origins are very obscure. Like, I know John Madden took credit for starting fantasy football.
Is that not true?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I watched some kind of NFL pregame, and he talked all about it. Yeah.
John Madden also took credit for writing all the code for Madden, the video game. So you know he's kind of full. Great guy, but come on, let's be honest.
Right,
All right, so you started, what year was that about?
Oh, so probably, I started probably around like early 2000. Like, yeah, about 2000.
So how did that work before the internet? How on earth did fantasy baseball, or football for that matter, happen?
People were like literally just, you know, reading their daily newspaper, checking box scores. You know, they were drafting in person or over the phone. You know, all the scoring was basically just done.
You just kept it yourself.
You know how I talked about how like each earlier, I talked about how each category is like scoring categories where you're trying to get the most home runs in the league over the course of the season. Well, for that, I mean, people had to just keep track of it manually. You know?
Trust that everybody else in their league. Well, yeah. It's hard to lie about that stuff, I'm sure. Stats are stats,
yeah,
but like,
yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's just evolved so much, especially when it comes to like daily lineups where you can just, you know, kind of assemble the perfect team for just a day and see how they will perform.
Yeah.
A lot of people do like legal betting on that now. So it's real
crazy?
Popular too. Yeah.
You can bet on fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
Pete Rose bet on actual baseball.
Right.
And paid the price for it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Wow.
I have mixed feelings with him, too. That's a whole other topic.
He seems like kind of a jerk, but you can't deny what a phenomenal player he was.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Well, he definitely was. But for me, like, I think it was the new commissioner came in and he met with Pete Rose, you know, kind of Pete Rose made one last plea to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he kind of was turned down because of his actions. Like, they said that Pete Rose hadn't changed his lifestyle at all. He was still, you know, very much a compulsive gambler, still in Vegas all the time. And just,
right.
You know, it was just kind of that he hadn't really shown any, I guess, remorse with what he'd done.
And that's like, I don't have much knowledge, but I feel like if he didn't bet on his team, even if he bet on baseball, that might be, with time, you can forgive that. But if he bet on his own team and affected the outcomes of the game, I have no problem with him not being in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I way off there? Or is that
no, I think it's, okay. I think it's definitely, you know, in line. Yeah. That's
all right. So your friend Rondo Huckbody says, I just love saying that. Did you draft any Packers? Wait a minute.
You know, well, I mean, Packers be football, right? Yeah. But the thing with any fantasy sport, I think, is that you really, don't want to hold a grudge against anybody. I mean, for instance, you know, I mentioned I have Kyle Tucker on my fantasy baseball team. He's a Cub.
Right.
Well, you know, you really want to be open-minded and not just limit yourself to your favorite team or your favorite players. So, unfortunately, you know, oftentimes when we do play in these leagues in Wisconsin, like we're in, you know, you find that people are paying up a little bit more for, you know, players in the Packers, the Brewers. So, I'm trying to think if I drafted any Packers. I think I had Jordan Love in like one league.
Oh,
yeah, it was kind of mixed results.
Yeah,
I mean, had like an okay, not like stellar season. Yeah,
that probably didn't help things.
Yeah, it didn't help too much.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer fantasy baseball over fantasy football?
I do. Yeah, I like the challenge of it. You know,
yeah.
I like drafting. I like just being able to like go after players. It takes a lot of patience. You know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, baseball is fairly inconsistent at times. You know, and also there are a lot of stretches that go along with it. You know, that's how you kind of look at it with fantasy football, is that you know, every Sunday is just like wham, here's all these results, whereas baseball's a little more drawn out.
Yeah, that's interesting. So do you think you can keep up with this, Conrad?
Yeah.
Okay. Every day you gotta update, right? I mean, it's like,
yeah, every day you gotta update, you know. I follow some fantasy baseball podcasts. You know, I also like CBS Sports, one of my favorites. For football, though, I listen to like lots of NBC Sports, lots of ESPN. Matthew Berry is a great fantasy columnist for fantasy football.
I have to be honest, all I can think about right now is you wolfing down venison sausage and listening to podcasts.
This is just what I do. Yeah, I like check my lineup while I'm doing that. You know, it's
Peter Van Doren is here. We're talking fantasy baseball. So, all right. So how are you doing so far? Or how did you do last year, I should say?
Well,
let's start with that. Sure, let's do a quick break. We'll come back. I want to find out just how good you are at fantasy baseball. We'll do that. I'm going to ask Peter what he's watching on TV and movies, so be ready for that. No fantasy there, buddy. It's the real thing. Fiction. We're going to come right back and close this thing up with our pal, Peter Van Doren. He's very tall. Can you dunk?
No, not quite.
No? All right.
I can take credit for dunking.
We'll talk about that. We're coming right back. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Beautiful day here in Wisconsin. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Grown Radio, WFHR.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, which will be fun. We'll have our old pal, Tim Sowers. He is going to literally walk across the street from the Overture Center and join me in the studio, and we'll talk about some fun shows coming up the Overture. And then director Jeff Blankenship joins me tomorrow, possibly in studio as well in Madison. And we might even have a surprise guest. Lots of fun every time we're in Madison. And then Wednesday night, I'll just take this opportunity to plug, there's a political event. And then we're doing a shortened show. It's just an hour, but it's going to be all Big Lebowski talk. We're going to celebrate the Day of the Dude and do a Lebowski quiz. It's going to be great fun. So join me Wednesday night as well, although that will not be live. And a great guest the rest of the week, too. Mary Mack joins me on Thursday to make the popcorn pick of the week. And Appleton-based comedian Rob Breckenridge will be here in studio. Rob's always a blast. And Bar Band Friday night coming up. All kinds of fun stuff headed your way on Nightlight. Peter Van Doren is my guest here. We're talking about fantasy baseball, and he is a big enthusiast and a big guy. What are you, 6'4"?
About 6'3".
You think you could beat Conrad in an arm wrestle?
We should try that after the show.
What if Pete's arm was like a foot longer than yours?
It probably is. I have short arms.
Can we make like a fundraiser out of this?
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Over a heights bump. Get in on that. Take a place a bet or two. Have you ever seen, I watch reels sometimes at night when I'm bored, like on Instagram.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
that clip, I don't know if you guys saw this, of Lenny Randle, a pitcher. This is like in the 70s. I remember him as a player. A pitcher threw at Lenny Randle. Either it didn't hit him because he was still up. So he went down, just missed his head. Lenny Randle on the next pitch lays down a bunt to the first base side. The pitcher goes after the bunt. Lenny Randle goes out of the baseline and just drills him as payback. That was baseball in the 70s. Like when it was just, I mean, it was insane. And obviously both benches erupted and I'm sure they got kicked out, but it's a great clip.
You know, and the sport has just changed so much too over time. It's, you know, really interesting just even, and it actually has an effect on fantasy sports, right?
Like, right.
Well, we had several years ago, there's often scarcity in fantasy sports with certain positions. And a few years back, I guess it was, you know, mainly like middle infielders that were kind of a little bit, you know, of a commodity. I mean, just that there weren't a lot of really like top end players, kind of in uneven distribution, you know, of players that were going to get you like quality stats and be startable week in or day in, day out. And, you know, with that being said, it's actually shifted, you know, for any number of reasons. Rules, I mean, different equipment, you know, bigger base paths, you know. So whereas before, you know, like steels were kind of a commodity, now steels are everywhere. I mean, there's like, I don't know how many.
That was always my favorite baseball. I love teams that used to steal.
Kind
of play aggressively like that. Mm-hmm. Pete, have you ever won? Not ever, but where do you rank, like, in all the years you've played, how often do you bring home money?
I was actually just looking this up. I would say probably with fantasy sports, I play enough leagues annually that if I break even, that's kind of my goal.
That's not why you're doing it to get rich, right?
You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that, so, I, you know, typically if I break even, but, you know, looking at, like, my profile on Yahoo, which is a server I play a lot of my fantasy sports on. I'm actually gold level, I guess. So
sweet.
Since 2001, I've played in over 700 fantasy leagues between football and baseball. Yeah, like a 60% winning percentage.
Dude, it's too bad you're married. You would get so many chicks with that information, right? Is it a good place? Is that a good place to meet girls playing fantasy sports?
It's social. It's just not quite that kind of social.
No, and you know? I, you know, the years I've played fantasy football and I've actually tried, it is really fun. Sometimes though, when you're busy, that's like the first thing you kick loose. You know, it's like a side hobby. But yeah. How do you like your chances this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's gonna be, you know, I think it's gonna be a good season. I think that there's a lot of players that are fairly straightforward to assess. One thing that gets kind of thrown around every now and then with fantasy sports are these boom or bust type players where they give either make or break you. Hmm. And I don't know that there's quite as many of those being drafted early this season in fantasy baseball as they're having years past. One example of a player that's boom or bust, Jacob DeGrom. I mean, if you're familiar with the pitcher, just signed with the
crazy
Rangers.
Hair, right?
He spent all those years with the Mets.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's been injured so often, you know. I think it's been two or three seasons since he put together a complete season, but he's been like just, you know, lights out when he's been on the mound. But it's just like, is this guy going to stay healthy? So for that reason, if you're drafting him early this year, he's going to be real boom or bust. Like, he's going to like make it or break it for you.
This has been fun. I got to read a text comment, and if I have time, I'm going to ask you one more question. So Craig Knitt checks in on the stream and says, Pete, I thought Mickey 17 was fun. I didn't realize he was Robert Pattinson until the credits rolled. Wow. He said, I found it odd that there was only one species on that planet. Not the greatest thing I've ever seen, but I enjoyed it. Cool concept. I agree it was a cool concept, Craig, and I didn't hate it. It was 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon sitting in a movie theater with my wife. What could be better, right?
Cool.
Pete, you love your wife, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
She a keeper.
And my kid. Yeah, like a 6-year-old. Keeps me busy.
All right. We have about, Conrad, how much time do we have? Like a minute?
Yeah.
Less. Rondo says, hey, Pete, what do you think? What do you look forward to in the future of fantasy baseball? You got 30 seconds. Answer your buddy's question. That's great.
What do I look forward to the future of fantasy baseball? I would say just the longevity of it. I mean, that's what makes baseball great. That's what I love about
MLB. It's not going anywhere.
Is just that it's not going anywhere. It's a rich history. I think that's just going to keep continuing.
Pete, keep up the great work. You do great stuff here at WGBW.
Thanks, man.
It's great to know you. And thank you for pitching the segment. I love it. And it's fun to get to know you more and learn more about fantasy baseball.
Yeah. So thanks a lot. Thanks so much for having me.
Anytime, bud. I'd like to thank all my guests, Peter Van Doren, Dan Davies, who is here in person. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Always fun here on Nightly. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes joins us to discuss the impact on Wisconsin of Doge cuts. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Conexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Amid concerns over hardship for consumers and President Trump's aggressive tariff policy, stocks plunged on Wall Street. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
The fact that the president declined to say that, no, we wouldn't have a recession really spurred what we saw. You know, you look at some of the indicators, consumer confidence is down, investor sentiment is down, and that really is why you saw a big sell-off, because we don't know what is going to happen here, what businesses are going to do, and how consumers are going to react.
The Dow closed down 890 points, NASDAQ fell 728, and the S&P 500 slumped 156 points. Ontario announces 25% retaliatory tariffs on the power it sends to Minnesota, Michigan, and New York. Ontario Premier Doug Ford blames President Trump for the confusion and says this move will add an extra $100 per month to power bills. And he says in order to end it,
we will not back down